I think Linnell was busy moonwalking back to his chair here in studio with Grimace on his computer. At WrestleMania 621. I just posted the picture, and Linnell not too happy that we're trying to make him a winner like Grimace and the New York Mets.
Whatever shenanigans that you all came up with, I mean, I guess I appreciate it. It's funny.
What kind of headsets are you wearing, brother?
Never heard of the Mind the Business That Pays You.
I mean, this is, I mean, you talk about a picture, man. You talk about a picture's worth a thousand words. I don't know what's going on.
So I found out the new thing that we should do is start going live on Twitter, on X Spaces. We can do video.
You know, you got to talk into the microphone. It's an audio medium.
The people can hear me, man. We need to start going live on X. And we can maybe start getting paid via X, man.
You think so?
People want to see
well,
this.
I've heard you're really popular on social media.
I'm about to say my last tweet. I like the way that there's actually some nice lighting. Okay, we got people hopping in here, man. These are the real 106.7 The Fan Twitter is in here.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
That's beautiful. Right, we're on X from now on.
Yeah, sure. Check it out. So, again, the Vikings and the Lions have an 86% chance of making the NFC playoffs. That is according to ESPN Analytics. That is the top. The Commanders are not at the top, but they have a pretty healthy chance at 64%, which actually is the sixth lowest, right? If you take the Vikings, the Lions, the Falcons at 70%, the Buccaneers at 70%, and obviously the Falcons have a head-to-head advantage right now. Maybe they don't deserve it over the Buccaneers, but they're both at 70%, and the Falcons basically, because of that, have a greater chance of winning the NFC South. The Packers, with Jordan Love back in the fold now, at 66%, but they have a much worse chance of winning their division at 15% than the Commanders do, who are at 45% and 64% overall. I don't think they are guaranteed a lock, a shoe-in, an absolute whatever you want to call it, so, for the playoffs right now through 6 weeks. Do you think right now, like if you had to say, I don't want to say gun to your head, if you said,
I had to put some money on it?
Yeah. That's the veritable Linnell fortune.
I like looking at things through that prism, because that's how you get some real honest feedback. If I had to put my own money on it, whether or not they're going to make the playoffs or not, I would put money on it. I would.
How much money would you put on it? Would you put $5 in a ham sandwich or would you put $500?
I'd probably put $100 on it.
Okay. $100 is a fair investment. What about you guys? Are they a shoe-in right now in your eyes to make the playoffs, or do they still have a lot of work to do?
So, all right, I bet $100 on it, but what I want to continue to say is, like, we can look at the rest of this schedule, and people are going to circle a win here and circle a win there. I'm all about matchups when it comes to the rest of the way. That's why Chicago is going to be tough. Right. Like, if you beat Chicago next week,
we have plenty
you
of time
are an
to talk
official
about
contender, man.
I agree. Montez Sweat going to make his return. We'll see. That's a good Chicago team on both sides of the football. Certainly getting better on offense, and they're going to be coming off their bye, which could either be a good thing or a bad thing. Rest or rust. We'll tackle that next week. Here he is. Let's get to Paulie.
What up, big dog?
What's up, Paulie?
Hey, next time they ban you from the show, man, you give me a holler. I'll get you back on. Hey, yeah, I ain't about to play with our, you know what I'm saying? It's one of our regulars, man.
I mean, it was a one-day ban.
Hell to the W, man. Hell to the W.
Hell to
Linnell, man. Hey, I appreciate you, Linnell. Hey, listen, if the other guy want to cut off his nose and spite his face, it's cool, man. As long as he cut the check, he good.
Come on, man.
You know what I mean?
He's calling you Grimace
like he ain't over there playing the hamburger.
The hamburger joint kicked me out, man. He's
on his desk right now, man.
I wish I had cheeseburgers.
I
forgot my lunch. I made a great salad with all sorts of good things. I forgot it on my counter. My dog's probably.
Hey, look, from now on, Wednesdays and Thursdays will be live streamed on X, as far as I'm concerned. Because y'all need to see this.
Making a show announcement without checking with the boss. That's never happened before. Woo! Anyway, go.
Anyway,
you see how they're trying to do me? They always trying to get corporate on me.
So I'm listening to you and the other guy. And it
oh, now
like,
I'm the other guy?
Y'all talking about are we a shoo-in for the playoffs?
Yeah.
We're not a shoo-in for the playoffs, man.
That's smart thing you've said all afternoon.
You know, they always say history repeats itself, or not history repeats itself, but you can gauge things by looking back at history. Well, I remember back, and I think it was 96. We started out 7-1, right? But you know what we couldn't do that year? Couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop the run that year. Because I remember we was on that HBO, the Inside the NFL. It came to D.C., interviewed Norv and all that. Then that Sunday, we got mollywhopped by Buffalo. And then from that point on, teams just ran on us because we couldn't stop the run. And I think we ended up like 9-7 or something like that or whatever. But we ain't made the playoffs. You know, we only won two games down the stretch. So unless this defense get it together, man, it's going to be an uphill battle. And these next two games are real important games.
Huge.
Especially this one because we're 4-2 right now, right? So we're better than we're expected to be. So when you're playing a team that is seems to be below you or maybe a little at your level, whatever, you got to win those games because you got to stack wins. And then you look, and I hate looking forward, but I'm going to look forward to the Bears game. It ain't just about Jaden versus Caleb.
Nope.
And 4 o'clock. Listen, man, the NFC North is stacked. That's a potential tiebreaker game.
Nah, you know for sure, I mean? For the wild card.
I'm looking at the wild card.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I know you don't like me anymore. It's a lot easier for them to win the division than it is to get into that one of three spots in the NFC.
There's a lot of static.
Oh, man. Would you stop? I'm going to static your ass.
But look, Mo, listen. The whole thing is, like, that's a potential wild card. I mean, wild card. I'm not looking. I want to win the division. Don't get me wrong.
For sure.
I want to win the division. But when last time we beat the Eagles?
Last time
we really beat the Cowboys? Like, until
Eagles on a Monday night in 2022. Yeah.
Until we listen, man. Right. Did it have any effect that the other guy always saying something crazy?
The other guy,
really didn't have none effect because we were struggling anyway. That was, we were struggling that year. But what I'm saying is, when the last time we beat them and it count and it mattered?
And I hear you
we
on that.
We ain't beat these guys.
Yep.
So until we show that we can, beat the Eagles and beat the Cowboys, you know what I mean? Like, the division, is – I think we got a better shot at getting a wild card right now than looking for the division. And the one good thing I can say is I like, the other guy always talking about the schedule. Well, I like in the schedule that we don't play those two teams, until later on down the schedule, where it's going to give us a chance to be better as a team,
right,
especially on defense when we get there. And on a quick note, what y'all was talking about earlier, man, listen, I said this to y'all before, I'm going to say it again, I'm still a little confused about what y'all are saying because it's two responsibilities of these D tackles. And it wasn't just Payne and Allen, because Mathis and Newton, they getting like 35, 40 snaps a game, right? So we got to decipher of this double team thing. Are we talking about stopping a run or rushing the passer? Because I think as a fan base, I think we just got enamored by DeRon Payne's one season of being able to dominate and get sacked.
Of course you did.
He's John never going to run stuff.
And John Allen was, he never dominated and got sacks, but he always got a handful of sacks during the season. And that's what we're not getting out of that position this year. So I just think we need to decipher more of, do we want to be stout, stopping a run, or are we looking for, hey, we need these guys to get up the field?
Well, that's why the other guy kept asking that question. Thank you, Paulie.
So,
appreciate you.
This is the thing that I feel like we need to differentiate. What is the biggest issue that we have defensively? And I continue to say, I'm making about the pass rush. I think the pass rush is secondary to me.
But you're the one that's been screaming about the pass rush.
The pass rush is a
problem.
Both
are a problem. We would agree with that, right?
The pass rush is a problem when you all try to single out the secondary.
Can you fix both, though, at the same time?
What's more important to fix? If you can't stop the run,
I would say based on every defensive coach that I've talked to, they say stop the run
first.
You've got
to earn the right to rush the passer, Chris. That's the one thing I continue to say about it.
So I would say there's a 1 and a 1A, and 1 would be stop the run.
Correct.
1A would be close, right? Logically, again, common sense, same line.
But
I think if you stop the run and make a team one-dimensional or largely one-dimensional, it makes it easier to rush the passer when you can pin your ears back a little
bit. And that's what I'm saying. It becomes much more difficult when teams are in 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, because you're giving up 3 and 4 yards on 1st and 2nd down. Like, that, to me, is where the issues start.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get to Cliff in D.C. What up, Cliff? How are you?
Cliff.
Well, you had something going on when you were talking about Big Ted Washington. I remember him, the guy that was clogging up the middle.
That's right, Ed. Cliff, us old geezers, we remember Ted Washington, Dominator.
Yeah, but who are our scouts? Because somebody should have been at Adam Peters' ear doing the scouting combine and everything. If they knew Johnny Newton had foot problems, why not draft him and drafted the guy out of Texas, Tavondre Sweat, the 366-pounder?
You love yourself, Tavondre Sweat.
Run, right?
Well, hold on. Why are you making
the run, right?
Yeah.
You want to stop the run, you got to get the big guy to clog up the middle.
And you're laughing, Chris, this. But Tavondre Sweat is playing his ass off right now on the best defense in the NFL.
No, I'm not laughing at Tavondre Sweat. I'm just saying that's Cliff's guy. That's all. Cliff's going to watch
the tape. I get out to Cliff. Cliff no ball, man.
All right, that's fine.
But no, here the thing is, and I keep going back to the teaching part of it. I was out there every damn day during camp. I do not remember, and I watched the defensive front a lot because that was a group that had a lot of question marks. They don't know how to defeat double teams. That is their number one issue.
How is it that you know all? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to be a jerk. How is it that you know all this stuff that Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and all these other guys don't know? I'm just curious. What this show is an absolute train wreck. How is it that they don't know this? Or is it possible that they are teaching this when we're not necessarily watching or seeing, and then the players are not executing or figuring it out?
Here's the thing. If they're teaching it, right, and they're not, and the guys aren't going out and executing it, bench them. Pull them. Play the guys that are going to do what the hell you ask.
All right, so...
Because the double team stuff, Carolina's going to do it on Sunday.
All right, but they don't have enough pieces to bench everybody, right?
It's not about benching a guy.
You can't bench Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne at the same time.
When I say benching a guy, it's not about taking a guy out for the whole game. You make his ass sit next to you for a series.
All right.
Because obviously you're not, the message ain't getting across.
Well, maybe they are doing that to some degree when they would bring in Johnny Newton and Fedarian
Mathis.
Maybe
that is the case.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, man, like, every team from here on out is going to do it. The Giants put it on tape. You can double team the interior.
I agree.
And you'll have success running the ball against this group. They have no answer for it.
I agree.
And we've seen it each and every week. And you can say that you agree and all this, but like, what do we change? How do we stop it? We're giving up the most yards per rush in the NFL.
Well,
that's not something that a playoff team has on their resume, Chris.
No, I agree.
It's not.
I agree. Now, again, some of it is matchup related, right? Again, you go against Derrick Henry, you're going to give up 125 yards minimum.
They made Devin Singletary look like Herschel bleeping Walker.
I wouldn't go that crazy.
You get what I'm saying, though, man. They're giving up too much on the ground, and that, to me, is their number one issue defensively. And until they figure that out, how do you get better? How does the defense improve? Especially when you're dealing with attrition all of a sudden.
So what would be, I guess,
maybe it's
playing
the five-man front.
Okay.
Maybe it's going to...
I mean, I saw a couple of five-man fronts on Sunday.
But what I'm saying is, like, when you're playing five-down defensive linemen,
right,
you can't, it's harder to double. The numbers don't really allow you to.
So
there's going to be free guys if they choose to double.
Doesn't losing Jonathan Allen hurt the ability to do that? Because now, instead of having Jonathan Allen, Fedarian Mathis, and, say, Daron Payne...
The names don't matter.
Okay, so you're saying...
I need five guys.
You're saying...
Three beefy dudes and two guys on the perimeter.
All right,
on
so
the,
you're
perimeter.
Saying... we would agree. Fedarian Mathis, if we're looking for beef and we're looking for pluggers and we're looking
Phil
for...
I'm putting Sheldon Day in the middle.
Okay.
I'm putting Johnny Newton on one side. I'm putting Cleland Farrell. Or I'm putting Armstrong on another side. That's four. And then I'm putting Farrell. Farrell would be
Daron
my
Payne?
Fifth guy. Oh, I forgot about Daron Payne.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be... So I would put Phil...
Phil?
Phi.
Phil?
I'd probably put Big Phil and Daron in the middle.
So Fedarian Mathis.
I think Johnny's got more juice pass rushing than Deron does.
Right. I think Johnny Mathis. I'm combining the two.
You might as well call him Judge Joe Mathis.
I mean, you could put him at end, right? I mean, you could. I mean, if you want a little bit more girth and juice off the end, right? And you're mad as hell about Dante Fowler playing, even though he was probably their best defensive lineman on Sunday. If you want girth and if you want, you know, the ability to push the pocket, right? You put, assuming that Dorrance Armstrong, who's on the practice field today, assuming that Dorrance Armstrong plays, you put Dorrance Armstrong at his left defensive end, you put Fedarian Mathis at the right defensive end, you have Deron Payne, Fedarian Mathis, right, as your in your base four-man front. If you want to do a bare front, right, and which is basically a five-man front, then you bring in, what, Sheldon Day to add to that mix of Fedarian Mathis? Or you could take Fedarian Mathis and kick him inside and play him more in the A and the B gaps. I mean, you could do a couple of different things. Like they should be flexible enough. I've seen...
Give me something that works. I don't care what you do. Give me results.
Yeah, I've seen Johnny Newton play defensive end kick people's ass. Now, I've seen it more from the left defensive end spot, which is where Dorrance Armstrong mostly maintains.
You also talk about in college, too.
Yeah,
though.
I understand that.
I don't know. I think that if we're talking about addressing like the big picture issues, like that to me is what I would put at the top of the list.
So is their lack of run defensive prowess stopping them
from rushing the passer?
No, hang on a second. Let me ask the damn question. From making the playoffs. Right now, if you had to guess, if they don't significantly improve their run defense, how much harder does it make them?
It stops them from, because Chicago's going to run the football at you, New York's going to run it at you, Pittsburgh's going to run it at you, Philly's going to run it at you. I don't think the Cowboys are tough enough to run the ball against us, but Tennessee is going to hit you with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, Alvin Kamara is on the schedule, Bijan Robinson's on the schedule. You better figure out this run defense or you're going to have major issues, because as pedestrian as you may think some of these passing offenses are, they get a huge, significant lift when they're averaging 5.1 a pop.
All right, coming up, clean up on aisle three. We'll try and grab a bunch of your phone calls here as well. Hang tight. We'll try and get you right on the other side. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Not continuing right along till 4 o'clock. Still got a lot to do.
I haven't seen the Prince of Passion yet. I don't know where he is. I'm referring to Craig Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen, when I say the Prince of Passion.
I don't know where he's at either. I'm sure he'll be here. Here's one thing I know. The Capitals are on the Team 980 tonight, 6:45. So wherever Craig is, his show will be cut short. 6:45, Capitals, Dallas Stars. Team 980 Odyssey app tonight from Capital One Arena. Last game of a three-game season-opening homestand. We told you Jake Ottinger of the Stars got a big contract extension, caps off the big win. So hopefully they'll be able to keep it going. Tough opponent in the 4-0 Dallas Stars. But again, you can hear it right here on the Team 980. Let's get back to it on the phones. And before we get to AA, we'll get to Mark. What up, Mark? How are you?
Mark.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Mark. What's going on, pal?
Always a pleasure to talk to the hardest working men in sports talk radio.
Appreciate it, Mark.
We appreciate you. I don't know if I'm hard.
You talking about me and Matt?
I don't know if I work as hard as I used to, but apparently if you listen to the boss, and it's true, I was tweeting mind-numbing stuff about the Ravens-Commanders game at 11:25 last night, and the text came in.
It's terrible photos.
I mean, maybe I should stay away from pictures and all that stuff, but my points were brilliant. My points were absolutely on target, brilliant. But anyway, thank you, Mark. Appreciate
you. You were on fire, Rooster.
You know, some would say let the mother burn, but you know, hopefully not.
Woo! I hardly know where to start after Paulie and everything this afternoon. Yeah. Back to the original question, I will say I think they got at least a 60% or better chance to win the division. I think they can take two from the Giants and split with the Eagles and the Cowboys. And I think, 5-3-ish or so is probably going to win the division. And I think they got a good chance of winning five games based purely on the strength of schedule and the defenses they're going to face. As long as they beat the teams they're supposed to, they can throw in a few losers and
that's kind of the key, right? I mean, if they go – They have five division games left, right? If they go, let's just say, 2-3 in those five division games.
I don't think you win the division.
You might not, but you would be 3-3 in the division because, again, you already beat the Giants. But to Mark's point, like if you win the games that you're supposed to win, i.e. the Carolina Panthers, if you beat the Tennessee Titans, even though that's not going to be easy, if you, again, are 2-3 in the rest of the division, that's 2-3 in the rest of the division, that's four more wins right there. That puts you at eight wins right there. Then, you know, you have to win... You know, you have to win against the Saints in mid-December in New Orleans.
On the road.
I mean, like, you're going to need, if you only go 2-3 in the division the rest of the way, you're going to need to win some games that are probably not going to be easy slam, but you also better not have a slip-up, i.e. this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
And, you know, to Linnell's point about how do you defeat the double blocks, I disagreed with the running philosophy against the against Baltimore. I think playing for 50% run and 50% pass and then go with whatever works best at the time. I didn't like them relying strictly on the passing game. I mean, you know, unless they're going to play zone against our guys all the time, man-to-man, I don't think you're going to do that well, particularly with the people we've got. So bring your tight ends in to block and then let them either block for the run, block for the pass, or release them and go out and catch a short pass. It'll give you short yardage on the second. So I like that 50% run and 50% pass against most defenses we've got. And that's how I think you defeat Linnell's point.
Appreciate you, Mark. As always, thank you for the kind words and for listening and all that. Good stuff. Mark is our guy.
The schedule to me is why I'm not sold on the postseason. Because y'all look at some of these games and – because of the team's record, you think that we're just supposed to automatically win. It's about matchups.
Yeah,
man.
I don't think
we don't match up well with a lot of the remaining teams. Like Pittsburgh is going to be a matchup issue.
Yeah,
Chicago, Philadelphia, New Orleans, Atlanta, Dallas is. I'm not even trying to be funny. Dallas is the only team left on the schedule that I just don't think can beat us. I just think Dallas don't have the toughness to beat us.
Yeah, I don't think
Quinn
right
knows
now
exactly what's going on over there. I don't see us losing it.
I don't think Dallas right now is capable of beating you. We'll see. Obviously, when they get when we get closer to that
maybe
game,
Micah
on the schedule.
And DeMarcus are back. That helps them.
Let's quickly get to. Well, they'll probably be back by the time. Well, Micah will probably be back. I don't know if DeMarcus Lawrence will be back for the first meeting. The second matchup, final day of the regular season in Dallas, that's going to be interesting. Let's get to our guy. How are we doing this, Matt? What are we doing?
Austin! Oh, son of a bitch! It's me, Austin! It was me all along, Austin!
The guy I once called Austin in Annapolis, now... just double A, Athens.
It was me, Austin.
Oh man, we try and time this up. We try and make it a little bit different. How are you, pal?
That's incredible.
That was great. Tell Matt, thank you for the intro.
That's all his doing. Yep.
This is incredible.
So, well, you know, listen. This team's going to go as the offense goes the rest of the season.
Yeah.
They know what they want to do on defense. The problem is they don't have the personnel to do it. You know, Linnell mentioned in training camp they were running like hour practices, like it was a Hilton, like powder puff practice.
It was very quick and very efficient, no doubt.
Yeah. So you go out there and you have all these communication issues. It's because you didn't practice properly. It's like when Marvin Lewis years ago had to go scream at Steve Spurrier, get off the golf course, coach, we got to practice. It's no different here. So they know what they want to do. They don't have the personnel to do it. The way this team's going to win the rest of the year is by keeping the offense on the field, running the ball, keep the clock running, keep the defense off the field. This team is going to go through however far the quarterback can take them because, again, he masks most of their problems. This team is not a Hassan Reddick or whoever away from being good on defense. They have massive holes because of what was left for them. So, you know, if you don't have the personnel to do it, you got to block field goals. You got to block a punt here and there. You got to find a way to get turnovers or whatever the case may be, because they're not a bend don't break defense.
Yep.
They just stink. I don't think they're awful, But, you know, this team goes as far as the offense takes them.
Again, the turnovers, I said at the beginning of the show, and I know it's much harder to do, if they can just go from 1 to 2 per game in terms of average, right? Because they're basically 1 a game right now.
So basically,
if they can somehow just get to 2 a game, it allows you the opportunity to cover up for some of the blemishes of what they don't have and what they're not. Period. And I know that's hard, easier said than done. But well, I understand that. But if you can again get 2 turnovers a game instead of 1, it's going to allow you to make up for a lot of that.
I can agree. But
I'm sorry. As simple as I can make it. It's as simple as I can make it. It's not going to allow you to be perfect, but it's going to allow you to make up for some of those blemishes.
Here's also the thing. We haven't gotten to the point where we're turning the ball over 2 times a game. It's like when I talked to Linnell on overtime last night. You're going to have games with the, you know, tip passes for interceptions and fumbles and, you know, whatever the case may be. We nearly have to play perfect on offense just to protect the defense. Yep. So it's going to be a marathon coming up here soon.
No doubt. Always good to hear from you, our friend. Appreciate you. That is,
you got it.
Double A.
Double A,
Indianapolis. All right, let's do the trending alert, and then we have cleanup on aisle 3, which includes a Thursday night snoozeroony that nobody is looking forward to. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let's start with the baseball playoffs. They are in full swing today. Starting at 5:08, the Guardians try and avoid going down 3-0. In the American League Championship Series to those damn Yankees. The New York Yankees up 2-0, 5:08. Again, first pitch from Progressive Field in Cleveland in the ALCS. The Dodgers look to take a 3-1 lead over the Mets in the NLCS. First pitch at Citi Field in New York, and that one at 8:08 after the Dodgers completely blanked and shut down the Mets last night. That Thursday night snoozer, gets started at 8:15 tonight. It is the return of Sean Payton to New Orleans, where he won a Super Bowl and coached for so long. The 3-3 Broncos, who are surging against the quick free-falling New Orleans Saints, who are 2-4. All sorts of injuries we'll cover for you coming up in cleanup on aisle 3. College football tonight over on 106.7 The Fan. It is the Virginia Tech Hokies hosting Bill O'Brien and the Boston College Eagles in Blacksburg. Enter Sandman will be blasting as the night gets going strong. 7:30 kickoff in that one. Pregame coverage at 6:30 on The Fan. Meanwhile, over here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. At 6:45, we have the Capitals off their first win of the night, of the season, I should say, against the surging and red-hot Dallas Stars. 4-0-0, and they extended their star goaltender, Jake Ottinger, today on a big multi-year deal. The Dallas Stars and the Washington Capitals here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app beginning at 6:45, and that's what's trending. All right, coming down the home stretch right here, 3:39, Craig Hoffman is in studio. I have seen him. Were you just visiting?
I was just visiting with the Prince of Passion.
Why do you call him the Prince of Passion?
Because he's passionate, and he is the afternoon drive host here, making him the prince of the station.
Okay.
Because Kevin is the king in the morning, and we are the—
What am I, the court jester?
We are. I was about to say.
I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah. Probably was.
Probably get uninvited.
Oh, he didn't tell you? Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. All right. Anyway.
You're so off pitch. I mean, that's bad, Chris. Seriously.
I'm sorry. I'm not as talented as
me? The Messiah?
Well, I don't. Hello. All right, let's do it. At this time, each and every day, we try and do this. We try and take out all the trash. We try and make things all nice and spiffy. We try and turn over a new leaf. We try and get to everything that we haven't gotten to yet. Let's do it up. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle 3.
Clean up on aisle 3. All right, here it is, Thursday Night Football. I hate Thursday night games to begin with. It's way too quick, way too soon. Players can't play. Their bodies are beat up, destroyed, but the NFL doesn't care about any of it. Tonight should have been a juicy matchup, should have been a juicy storyline, should have been a much bigger stage. Now, there's a lot going on. There's a big college football game. I don't know how much the nation cares about it. We'll touch on that in a sec. There's a NLCS. There's the end of the ALCS. But Thursday Night Football, right, is generally a headline maker. And there should have been a big headline here. Sean Payton making his return to New Orleans, the former head coach of the New Orleans Saints, and his new team, year and a half now in, the Denver Broncos at 3-3, 2-1 on the road against the New Orleans Saints, who started off house on fire at 2-0, kicking everybody's ass, and have subsequently lost four in a row. Linnell, any interest, any juice, anything in your mind about this game before I even give you the injury report, which is never ending?
Yeah, there is some intrigue in my mind because Denver's at 3-3 right now, and when you look at their upcoming schedule, they play good defense.
They do.
But they're probably going to be without Pat Surtain.
They are.
So that like makes them less viable. I want to watch Bo Nix throw a ball over himself. I mean, watching Bo Nix play quarterback is just, he's been terrible, in my opinion at least.
He's five touchdowns, five interceptions, 121 for 198, 1,082 yards. I don't know if he's been
Benjamin
terrible,
Solak
terrible.
Had the best line about Bo Nix and his pocket awareness. Mm-hmm. He said he cosplays the pocket. Like he doesn't know what he's looking at, and he's only in the pocket so he can leave it and run.
Well, again, it's like for everybody that thinks, you know, and right now we're lucky, right? Jaden Daniels seems to have made that leap, that meteoric leap from college football to the NFL. For everyone that just talks about these guys like, oh, they're so great, they're so this, they're so that. Not that everybody did that about Bo Nix, but everybody thought he would be a good fit in Sean Payton's system because they run a lot of screens, a lot of quick passes. They get the ball out. They move the football. He's smart, this, that, and the other thing. And listen, it is going to take Bo Nix some time to understand how to deal at the NFL level, right? Just simply because defenses are much more sophisticated, much more talented at the National Football League level. I think it's been a horrible, horrible start for Bo Nix. It hasn't been good enough, but he's also faced some interesting slash good defenses, and New Orleans, whatever's remaining of them, right, with Chase Young and so on, and who's their top corner?
Marshawn Lattimore
and whatnot. I think this is another test. Remember, they faced the Jets on the road. They faced Seattle on the road. I know Seattle's been beat up here, but that was when Seattle was fresh, prime, healthy, all of that. They faced the Raiders when the Raiders were pretty healthy on defense. So, you know, you got to give, I think, Bo Nix a little bit of time. He's not Jaden Daniels.
That's all I wanted to hear you say.
Okay, I'm just saying. He's not Jaden Daniels.
We need to come up with a nickname.
I just think we shouldn't end his career just five games in. I think we should give him a little bit of time. All right, so maybe there is a little bit of intrigue. Denver at 3-3, New Orleans at 2-4. Here's why I said
needs this game.
There's really no intrigue for me. You mentioned Pat Surtain. He's out. Mike McClinchy, their starting offensive right tackle, he's out. He's on IR. A couple of other guys out for the Denver Broncos, right? Nobody of any real news noteworthy proportions. Mm-hmm. But for New Orleans, Rashid Shaheed was having surgery today. He may be out for the year. He may be out for a couple of weeks. We already know Chris Olave is out with a concussion for tonight, not going to play. They're starting center Cesar Ruiz out. Pete Werner, one of their pretty decent linebackers, out. Derek Carr already, well, he's officially doubtful. He's not playing. So that means you have, what do you call it? The quarterback that started last week.
Rattler.
Spencer Rattler. I couldn't remember his name. Taysom Hill is doubtful. The Saints are playing this game with basically half their roster. I don't know if these guys would have played on Sunday.
Yeah.
But here's what I know. They won't be playing tonight. I mean, and if you're listed as doubtful, that's as good as out. So you're not going to see Derek Carr. You're not going to see Taysom Hill. You're not going to see Rashid Shaheed. You're not going to see Chris Olave. You're not going to see half their offensive line. So, you know, the bottom line is
uh-oh.
What?
I pressed the wrong button.
Oh, okay. I thought you were getting tired of me, which I wouldn't blame you if you are. Denver's 3-point favorites. This is a Thursday night game that I have again, so little interest
in. If anybody out there has some money that they like to throw away, this is one of those Thursday night games you just bet on. I bet the under on everybody.
You know, that's not a bad.
It's going to be a 9-7.
The line has gone from 1.5 to 3 in favor of Denver, right? But it is in New Orleans, tough place to play. So we'll see what happens.
Then Dennis Allen's going to get beat by Sean Payton and Nolia.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, as we move along, I wanted to get to this, something we haven't touched on. We have not talked about the NBA at all. I know it's important to you. Last night, right? A big return. And
huge return.
I know I kind of diminished it and whatever. It's just because it's a preseason game. But it was cool. It was cool to see Mr. Ball out there after all he's been through. And the fact that we don't have to deal with Daddy, who was such a pain in the ass early in his career, makes it more enjoyable.
They are the NBA's royal family.
Yeah.
The Balls.
Right.
Because his brother LaMelo is a damn good player. Lonzo's really damn good when he's healthy. LeVar deserves credit, man.
He deserves credit for shutting up. That's what he deserves credit for.
His boys, he trained his boys, man. Yeah.
But he deserves credit for shutting up and not being front and center.
I mean, he was front and center the way he was, and the kids dealt with it, one, because they had no choice, but two, he's also like that hands-on type of dad that was in the backyard putting up shots with him, that was taking him to the gym.
Yeah, like there's lots of dads.
He's as hands-on as they get.
There's lots of dads and moms.
He even taught him their own orthodox jump shots.
Right. And there's lots of dads and obnoxious.
I mean,
you know what?
You call him obnoxious. I think he's a money-making machine.
Well, the best part about him is he's for the most part shut up.
Well, that's because you don't go where he is.
Well, of course I don't. Why would I
stay far, far
space?
Away from
anyway,
the ball
anyway? Great return last night. Here's hoping.
I have worse NBA news though.
Well, I think it's about what I'm about to get to, and that is if we're on the same page. Kawhi Leonard of the Los Angeles Clippers,
just a joke,
going to be sidelined indefinitely to begin the season, rehabilitating from inflammation his right knee.
They are the biggest joke of a franchise.
The Clippers?
Yes. Their lack of foresight is baffling.
Well, when you say that, they traded Paul George over the offseason, right? Now
all they have to do is pay him. But they traded him. You should have traded Kawhi too. And you should have hit the reset button. But we can't.
Maybe they tried.
Because we're building the new Intuit Dome and we gotta have bunching seats.
Well, that's the other problem.
Now look at you.
Yeah.
Now look at you. You're not going to have Kawhi, and you're going to get nothing.
I mean, he's got inflammation. Inflammation
Chris,
some?
He's out indefinitely already,
Chris. I know, but I mean, that could be a week and a half.
This season's over.
So you think...
It's going to be the James Harden show. You all should hammer the over on James Harden's points and assists every night.
Okay, that's fair.
It's going to be the James Harden show.
That's fair.
With the Clippers, which may actually end up being productive, because despite what you think about old Sir Mix-a-Lot is what I call him, the beard. James Harden can play. So, I am actually intrigued.
I would agree. Do they still have Russell Westbrook or no?
No, Russell Westbrook is on the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The Denver Nuggets, according to the Caged Monster.
Yes, I can't keep track of all this stuff. Anyway, so that is tough news for them. In the meantime, they are debuting the Intuit Dome, which looks fabulous.
We should do a... Matt, I think we should start doing bits. On Wizards game days, when I'm here, we need to just like start showing pictures of random players in jerseys and ask Chris who they play for. And if you get any right, you get a surprise.
You think I'm that out of touch with reality?
You don't know anything about the NBA.
I don't pay attention to anything NBA once the football season starts. But obviously during free agency and during trade season and during the summer league, I watched it all. What do you mean clueless?
Clueless. No, I'm joking. Look, it's Throwdown Thursday. So we're supposed to be our heel personas.
Go fly a kite. Go kick all the rocks. Coming back, Dum Dum of the Day. Sorry, Matt. I always butcher the ending clip there. My bad.
Clean up in aisle three.
I love it, man.
My bad. If I was a good radio host, I would actually not butcher that. Coming up, clean up on aisle three. That was just now. Coming up, Dum Dum of the Day. A story we have not done yet this year, or this week, I should say, that is making big headlines that we have big time movement in. We'll explain next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. If you guys only knew what I just saw in studio, it's why we definitely need to be...
You need to start paying me.
on cameras. The entertainment and the weirdness is just something that continues to mystify me. So I'll just move along and say, by the way, I forgot to get this in during cleanup on aisle three. The Cleveland Browns and the mayor of a local town, I forgot what the name of the town, have announced that the Browns are leaving the city of Cleveland for a new $2.4 billion domed stadium about 15 minutes or so from their current stadium right on the waterfront, or the lakefront, I should say. They are still going to be called the Cleveland Browns. They play in the AFC North, so do the Baltimore Ravens, and that's where we head for Dum Dum of the Day.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Nothing really to do with the Baltimore Ravens themselves, just a dumb Baltimore Ravens fan. And a really mean one at that. We have not touched this story because I wasn't sure if it was for real. But now I have no choice but to acknowledge it. We've all seen the video. The Baltimore Ravens fan who, just for whatever reason he had, beat the ever-loving crap out of a couple of Commanders fans Sunday night in downtown Baltimore. According to the New York Post, Baltimore police told them in an email that 24-year-old native, Baltimore native, John Callis, is quote-unquote currently wanted for first-degree aggravated assault, three counts of second-degree assault, and a warrant for his arrest has officially been issued. And John Callis, again, the fan in the Baltimore Ravens Lamar jersey, who just beat up the Washington Commanders fans, caught on camera yelling, "I don't lose, I don't bleeping lose." Well, son, you lost. You're eventually going to be thrown in jail. 10 years, 8 years, 5 years, it ain't long enough for you, son. I know your daddy's rich from what I've read. At least that's the rumor. Maybe daddy can buy you out of jail a little bit. But here's the thing. When you act like a bleep, you should get treated like a bleep. So I hope somebody takes care of you in prison and makes your life a little extra miserable. I'm not talking about anything bad. I'm just saying somebody makes your life a little extra miserable for you doing what you did to those poor Commanders fans. How about we start being better human beings?
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dum Dum of the Day.
So I'll leave you with that. We have not touched on that story all week because, again, honestly, I seen the video right away. I did not know it was real because it was posted by somebody who has posted fake information before. So I wanted to be extra, extra cautious. But Baltimore police issuing a warrant for the arrest of a 24-year-old knucklehead in Baltimore named John Callis is all you need to know. That's good enough for me. That is good enough for me. Linnell, the last 2 days have been interesting and fun. To some degree.
Does it continue?
Tomorrow will be fun without you. Sal Palantonio. Sal Palantonio of ESPN has been at the last two Commanders games. He'll join us at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Chris McLean, WFNZ in Charlotte, previews the Panthers in the 1 o'clock hour. And your calls and Dooley Super Six Packs. Craig Hoffman up next. Have yourself a great Thursday afternoon.